Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When family is all that matters, make sure they're protected. Visit Zurich.ie to learn more about life and serious illness cover.
The Delta variant now accounting for 20% of all new COVID cases in the past week. There have been calls today from scientists and medics for the government to consider delaying the reopening of indoor restaurant dining and indoor pubs on July the 5th. It's of real concern to a number of voices, especially today. I'm joined now by the Minister of State for Business, Employment and Retail, Damien English. Minister, you're really welcome to the programme. And I do want to talk to you about the joint labour organisation around childcare and the effect that will have on the sector and wages and so on. But I do want to talk to you about the Delta variant and the effect it's having and the concern people are showing for the rapid increase in the amount of that virus in the past week or so. 20% of all new cases now in the past week down to Delta. Is it time to consider delaying the reopening of indoor restaurant dining?
Well, look, it is fair to say there's a concerning rise in transmission of the Delta variant in Ireland over the past week. This has been carefully monitored, but there are no plans yet to delay the reopening targets for July the 5th. Of course, government will monitor this. We'll continue to consult with NPHET and all our public health teams over the week ahead. But at the moment, there's no signs or no plans to delay the reopening. We're very
conscious. What are you waiting for?
Well, again, I think as we've been tracking the Delta variant story, certainly from the UK and across Europe, and it's a similar approach here in Ireland. There are about 200 cases now confirmed of the variant in Ireland. Naturally, there's extra efforts being put into it now and encouragement of people to take the test and get a PCR test to try and trace this and stop the transmission of it. We are, again, flagging extra advice and advertising towards people coming from the UK in relation to their requirements to quarantine at home and to take tests as well. So every effort will be done to track this. But to be clear...
Yeah, but I'm hearing what you're saying. You're saying you're carefully monitoring it and there are no plans to delay the reopening of indoor yet. So my question to you is, what are you monitoring for? What is the criteria that you're waiting for action to be taken?
Well, to be clear, Cormac, thankfully the vaccination programme is well underway and the initial evidence clearly indicates that the vaccines are very effective at preventing hospitalisation. So while you might see the cases increasing of the Delta variant and other ones, it's not resulting in pressure in our hospitals or hospitalisation.
That's
or people
not correct,
very
only if
sick.
You're fully vaccinated in regards to Delta.
Yeah, but I'm saying in relation to the figures in hospitals, there's no follow-on yet in relation to in pressure on our hospitals or any signs of that. So you're asking me what do we monitor? We'll monitor the spread of the virus. We'll monitor the effect it's having on people, how sick they're getting. We'll monitor the effects that it's having on our hospital admissions. There's no increase in ICU beds. So thankfully across all the levels that we would watch at, the numbers have been stable and have come down.
So that's quite clear. Are you saying to me then that the government's approach, especially in terms of Delta and COVID cases generally, that if admissions start to rise, if case numbers start to rise and if ICU numbers start to rise, that you will delay the reopening of indoor dining?
So to be clear, Cormac, at all stages with our reopening plans and in conjunction with public health advice and NPHET, we monitor and track what's happening with the virus and the variants around that, as well as in line with the vaccination programme. So a part of the monitoring is the number of cases and the testing that delivers that and the contract tracing to go with it, but also the number of hospital admissions and the number of ICU beds. That's always, and from day one, that's what we will always monitor. But on top of that, it's the vaccination programme, because we know that the protection you get to all variants by having the vaccination programme rolled out quickly. As of this week, we know over 350,000 people will doses of the vaccine will be administered. It'll be higher next week. And the predictions are for all month of July that we'll reach well over 300,000, probably up to 400,000 cases
but with
a week.
All due respect,
so that gives us the protections we need.
In terms of the Delta variant, we've only, over 30% or so fully vaccinated. So if you have one dose of vaccine, for example AstraZeneca, you're only 30% protected against the Delta variant. Isn't that correct? So you're still quite vulnerable. I mean, why not listen to the scientists and the medics who've been talking today? Let me put this to you. For example, Aoife McLysett, she's Professor of Genetics in Trinity College Dublin, as you know. She said that the government really needs to reconsider plans to reopen indoor hospitality, which she said is basically throwing oil onto flames at the moment because of the rapid increase of the Delta variant. Dr. Mary Favier said it could make all the difference if we delay indoor dining. Now, why not listen to those experienced voices?
Yeah, Cormac, to be very clear, I think to be fair, the government have taken a very cautious approach to reopening since Christmas, and I think no one can doubt that. So we have taken on board all advice from the scientific community, from our public health teams, from NEFET, from everybody, and of course we'll track all this data. Today's the 22nd of June. Our plans are in place to again remove more restrictions on July the 5th. That still stands as it is. We're very confident we can track this variant and keep the numbers down. Of course, along with the vaccination programme, I'd ask everybody and repeat the message of the Taoiseach today that everybody takes responsibility for themselves as well and follows the public health advice, which is still to have social distancing, still wear your mask, wash the hands, all the advice that we know helps stop the spread of the virus. I'd have to differ with you though on the vaccination rollout. I think it's been quite successful, and we know that by the end of July, well over 50% will have had their second dose, and that gives you great protection.
That's over
unlike
a month
other
away.
Countries, but unlike many other countries, we have a good mixture of the various vaccines here. So, I mean, we have a combination of the four ones, which I think will assist us in dealing with the different variants that come our way in the months ahead and in the years ahead as well.
How many people in this country now, percentage-wise, are fully vaccinated?
We know that over 32% are fully vaccinated.
So we have nearly 70% of people, correct me if I'm wrong, vulnerable to the Delta variant.
Yeah, again, two things there, Cormac. The most vulnerable people, it was always the aim that by the end of May and early June, over 95% of people who are vulnerable to the effects of COVID would have had their second vaccine. And that's the position we are in. Of course, every effort is made now to roll the vaccine out at over 350,000 vaccines per week now for the weeks ahead, because it's based on supply coming in. So we are in a strong place to really roll out that numbers and to increase the percentage who have got maximum cover by having two vaccines. But it is, but it's fair to say, as quick as we get the vaccine supply in, we've administered it, and we can see the number has been reached every week, which is a positive. That gives us protections. We want to build on that, and we need, and naturally, in the next 7 or 8 days, as we review what's happening with the virus, of course we'll be reviewing how quick the vaccination programme has been rolled out as well, and that's why it's been sped up.
So it's not off the cards that it may be delayed, indoor dining and indoor pubs?
To be very clear, Cormac, there are no plans to delay or to change the strategy at the moment.
But is it still a possibility if the metrics that you mentioned, if they start going up, increasing, it's a possibility that it could be delayed, is it?
It's fair, Cormac, and I think everyone knows this, at every stage of the reopening plan, both last year and this year, as you come closer to the dates, the government confirmed then that we move on to those targets. July the 5th is still our target. We're still on track for that. There's no reason while yes, the variant is concerning what's happening there, but the Taoiseach to the Taoiseach were very clear today that doesn't put us off course at this moment in time. I don't expect it will because of the vaccination programme that has been rolled out. But we need to keep the pace up, and all of us are responsible for ourselves as well, right throughout the system. And I think the Irish people have been extremely good.
They have been, but there are outbreaks in Athlone, for example. There's high numbers in Derry, and I know Minister Stephen Donnelly briefed the Cabinet today on that situation. What are you going to do about cross-border spread from Derry to Donegal, if that's a possibility? Are you doing anything specific there? And what are you doing about the situation in Athlone, a probable outbreak because of riverside socialising?
Yeah, two things there. There's been a very strong message going out to everybody in Athlone and for anybody that was along the river on the 11th of June and those days around that as well, to come forward for a test. Because if people take a test and we can identify a COVID positive or a various variant, then we can deal with that, and the contact tracing kicks in as well. Also, close contacts has been dealt with too. So there's the testing programme, I think, can catch that. We've proven, you can pick any of our counties over the last couple of months, different towns, different counties, different cities, at any given week, are often problematic. The public health teams swoop in and deal with that and have brought it back under control. Likewise, there are public health authorities from both the south and the north have met again this week and are in regular contact to deal with the situation between Derry and Donegal. It's not the first time this has happened. We've dealt with it in the past, and of course the communications and the campaign will be dealt up around that as well. So I'd be very confident that we can bring that under control. Of course it's concerning. We have to watch that. But I believe the infrastructure is in place now and the system's in place over the last 12 months to be able to deal with outbreaks like like this and bring them under control. But we all have a part to play, Cormac, and, I'm happy to say that while the vaccination programme gives us the protections we need long term, we all have a role to play while you're waiting for that protection from the second vaccine dose.
Can I ask you about the Joint Labour Committee for the early years service sector that's been set up? This means, doesn't it, that pay and conditions for childcare workers will be finally formalised after many, many years of campaigning from various groups in this sector. Now, it's well past time, some would say, but what effect will it have on the sector in your opinion?
Well, it's important here. I think it'll have a positive impact on the sector, and all the feedback would back that up. But this is the process that will lead us on the journey to, it's assumed, probably better paying conditions. I can't predetermine what will happen, but what we've given sanction to here is for the Joint Labour Committee to do their work now, which the Joint Labour Committee is a process overseen by the Labour Court, which brings both employers, as in providers, along with employees, along with the department around the table, to work out what's the best way to approach new paying conditions. We want to recognise this sector. It's an extremely important sector, providing a fabulous service to over 200,000 of our children. We know there's about 30,000 people employed in that sector as well. They would feel that they need to have their qualifications recognised and the service they provide in a new way. The programme for government flagged this last year, and we committed to looking at this sector and dealing with it once and for all. And so I believe now that this Joint Labour Committee is the process to do that, to bring the stakeholders around the table, to put a formal mechanism in place that will set a minimum wage and terms and conditions as well.
Yeah, but who'll pay for that, I wonder? Who'll pay? Who'll carry the cost for better terms and conditions, better pay for workers in the sector? Because some employers in the sector are saying it will have to be the parents.
There's two things here. Already, the who funds this is a combination of the state through the taxpayers' contribution along with the parents. We have seen that the spend in this area over the last 5 years has increased from 260 million up to 638 million. So there's a lot of extra money in the system assisting with providing this service. But everybody, both providers and employees, have been saying to me and to other members of the government for years that they would like to see a stronger wage mechanism in place that recognises the qualifications, recognises the work they're doing, and we value this sector. So as a government, we really want to see improvements here, and we'll work with everybody to achieve that. But this is the formal process to actually make it happen.
Why pursue this model where we know there are high fees for parents, a dearth of, a paucity of places, especially in city areas, of childcare places, and the wages still, despite the high fees that parents pay, the wages are extremely low. Now, why is the government endorsing this model? Why not move to a public service where you can guarantee that the workers employed would receive a fair and decent wage?
Well, I think to be clear, about 75% of the providers are private and 25% are public. But under the ECC program, everybody, every child, it's universal access, and every child is guaranteed that access to that, regardless of any income or regardless of where you're from. And that has been an extremely attractive scheme. It's worked extremely well. I think at this stage, there's over 105,000 children on that program and enrolled in it, and it gives people 2 years of before school of early childhood education. I think it's really, really successful. It's well recognised internationally that we have a good programme.
We have the highest ECC. We have the highest ECC places in Europe. The highest cost.
Yeah, so that's what's saying, Cormac. To be fair, it's well recognised the quality of our system
and the cost of our system. Again, driven by the model, though, isn't it?
That's what is going to come in. The issue is around the cost, and every effort has been made to subsidise that cost. That's why government over the last 5 years have increased the spend by nearly close to 400 million from taxpayers' money to help subsidise that. But we will have to find new ways to reduce those costs. One area that's often flagged is the whole area of insurance. I believe the action plan for insurance that's been driven by the Taoiseach will drive down those costs as well. There are other areas of cost we want to bring down. But what's important, though, is that we can attract new staff into this area, retain the existing staff by recognising the work they're doing and to put a value on that as well. So that will involve this process here, which is bringing everybody around the table to increase the paying conditions, because we want to set out a progression plan here which well recognises the qualifications and the years of service and experience that's been provided by these people.
Is this going to happen? Because we saw the Fine Gael Ó Ardéisg, a plethora of promises from the Fine Gael leader, Leo Varadkar, for example, on housing, on various issues. And yet a day later, his second in command almost, Pascal Donoghue, giving the coalition leaders a dire warning, basically, for the state of the public finances.
To be clear, Cormac, we believe that we'll have a jobs-led recovery, and that will put us in a position very soon to be back to the employment levels we were at before COVID. That will generate the money we need to pay down the cost of COVID, but also to invest in our services. The Taoiseach, again, was very clear and has been very clear when he took up the role as Minister in my Department of Enterprise, Trade and Employment, that we have to look at the sectors, we have to improve paying conditions across the board for everybody, and he is delivering on that. This is one of those areas, in conjunction with Minister Roderick O'Gorman, where we're delivering a process that will, in my view, lead on to greater pay and conditions in this sector. The state will be involved naturally in making that happen and funding, but it was a programme for government commitment. Likewise, the statutory sick pay scheme that the Taoiseach committed to at the back end of last year is now in, the legislation is now in place and we'll go through is now published and we'll go through the House of Directors in the weeks ahead. There's also the new process around collective bargaining as well as the living wage mechanism that's been looked at by the Commission. So we are committed to this area. We are working in this area. It will be gradual improvements over the next couple of years, but that's something we are committed to and we will make it happen.
And people are scratching their heads as to who will pay for it eventually at the very end. But I want to ask you about one more item, if you don't mind. One more story that's been in the news for the last 24, 48 hours or more. And we've had a statement, you might have heard it this afternoon, from the board of St Vincent's Hospital. It states that the new National Maternity Hospital will be clinically independent. That's what they say. And there's going to be no religious or Vatican influence. And this, they say, is to bring clarity around issues that have been raised over the new National Maternity Hospital over the last number of days. Is this enough, in your opinion, now?
Well, that confirms what both the Taoiseach and Taoiseach have said over the last few days on this space. So I believe it does bring the clarity we need. There is a motion tonight in the Dáil that will be debated. The government are not opposing that. So I think we're all on the one page with this as well. But this conversation, this discussion has gone on for many years now and it needs to be brought to conclusion. What's important for me is that the hospital is built and the services are provided. And I think that's what the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach and Minister Eamon Ryan want. And I think it will lead the government in that space as well.
Can I ask you about approaching them yet again about selling the site? Because this, Minister Stephen Donnelly yesterday, or was it Sunday, was saying that they will approach the St Vincent's Group again to sell the site to them. But RTÉ are reporting that St Vincent's Hospital Group rejects calls to sell the site today. I mean, where do we stand on ownership of the land?
I'm afraid, Cormac, you have to agree with me that I can't comment on RTÉ reports. The Minister Donnelly is the Minister for Health and he can clarify the situation there. But I think what the government are committed to is delivering this hospital and that the services that people expect will be in that. And that's what we will see. But I mean, I in terms of the ins and outs of it, that will be clarified by the Minister for Health.
Okay, not your particular remit. We'll leave it there for the moment. So, Minister Damien English, thank you very much indeed.